is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Christopher John O'Shea.
Yes, sir.
Chris, what's happening?
Great to be here.
You told me today at lunch that you liked the name Christy, so I'll call you Christy from now on.
You just have a way about you there, Andrew.
Yeah.
My father loved that name. It was the Irish name.
Irish name.
He wanted me to be like, there's a golfer, Christy O'Connor, or Christy Mathison, the great pitcher.
Right.
From, the early 1900s.
There you go. And so we won't call you that because you didn't seem to be that fond of it, you know? But anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in to direct the conversation in the direction that you desire the conversation to go, so that we're not just listening to somebody we're interviewing on a specific topic, and we're not just addressing something specific. We're addressing exactly what you want to hear, whether it's 401ks or IRAs or tax return preparation.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Drew. You know, when people come in and tell us their situation, that's when you come up with all these creative things about, did you know about this, did you know about that? So we could go on about things, but when people come and ask us specific questions or tell us their situation, that's when things start triggering. And
sure,
whether you find a long ago deceased person, a deceased spouse, whose pension that you can get.
Yeah, right.
You didn't know about, or Social Security,
that
or something.
That was a lady situation that came in that we helped, that she had been a widow from like 1969, and
right,
the next thing you know, she's getting $1,300 or $1,400 a month for the rest of her life that she never knew she was even entitled to. So, yeah, those are the cool things that happen when we can address people's individual situations. And this is tax season, and a lot of people are doing their tax returns. And we just want to make sure everyone realizes that tax preparation is very different than tax planning. And most people that are doing your tax returns are not thinking tax planning. They're thinking, get this darn tax return done with the information that's here. Give it back to them. Give it to them correctly and tell them to hit the road, you know, and give me my $500, $200, $800, whatever dollars. That's tax preparation. Anyway, we've got callers on the line. We're going to go to them again. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. Lee in Towson, you're up first. What can we help you with?
I heard something about Maryland was going to have a 529 type plan for special needs people.
Yeah, the ABLE account. And it's actually up and running, I believe, already, isn't it? I think it is.
Very soon.
Very soon, if it's not already. So anyway, what's the question?
Oh, I just wanted to know if it existed and if you know anything about it, any details.
Well, basically, you can, you know, ABLE accounts are specifically for somebody who has special needs, somebody who's disabled and needs government assistance and government benefits, and it allows you to put in up to $100,000 without negating them from the opportunity to get government benefits. So if you know anything about somebody who has a disability, now this is different than Social Security disability, so let's not confuse that. This is somebody who has a disability and needs government assistance in some regard, like medical insurance or long-term care needs and so forth. You can normally only have $2,000 of assets, period. If you go over that, you're out. You lose your benefits. Well, an ABLE account allows that person to have up to $100,000 growing tax-free, and they can use that money for anything they want to without negating their government benefits. So that's what it's about. And there's a lot more to it. The one negative to the ABLE account, the one big negative to the ABLE account is whatever you put into an ABLE account for a disabled person will go to the state of Maryland at the end of that person's life if the state of Maryland's government programs for them put out more money than what is in the program at the time they pass away. So you put in $50,000 in, and it sits in there, and they die, and the state says, hey, we spend $85,000 on them during their lifetime. We're taking that $50,000 at the end. So that's one of the big negatives to the ABLE account, in my opinion, but it doesn't mean that they're not good accounts.
And who owns the money before the person dies?
Well, the person that the disabled person will have what's called an account holder. It could be a parent or a brother or sister who oversees the money on behalf of the disabled person, and the money sits with the ABLE account custodian. And I'm assuming that Marilyn's going to use the T. Rowe Price to do the ABLE account, but I don't know that for a fact. Just like the 529 plans for college, Marilyn will have somebody like T. Rowe doing that. So it's a great concept. We ought to have somebody like Mary O'Byrne come on and talk about it. She was actually instrumental with Marilyn helping to set up the ABLE accounts, or get Marilyn to pass the law and help to set that up. So it's a good thing, Lee, if you have somebody in that type of situation. It's something that definitely should be considered.
Someday Administration LLC is record keeper and program manager for the Maryland ABLE plan.
Someday LLC? I've never heard of them.
Yeah, so this is the release of September 6, 2017.
But is the account up and running now?
From what I can see, yes.
You know, it's been up and around with some states for about 2 years now, and
right.
And we have numerous clients. We've looked at the situation, but we have yet to implement a ABLE account for a client because we, you know, look at all the options, and it just hasn't been the best option overall.
Yeah, I'm assuming that Medicaid expenses will be counted as state expenses.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So, you know, if they're putting out that kind of money and housing subsidies and all kinds of different things that they could do, that money will all be counted against and will be taken from that account at the end. So that's one of the negatives that have stopped us from actually setting up an ABLE account at this point in time. I got to run, Lee,
okay,
but it's an excellent question. ABLE accounts, we should have somebody sooner or later.
Yeah, they can go to MarylandABLE.org right now.
MarylandABLE.org. Anyway, we got to go to traffic. We're going to be right back with our open show tonight. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. Call 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE to learn more, or go online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
At this one?
The Franklin Brothers. You remember them? How can you not say that that's right? Who is it? Sam and Dave? What happened to the Franklin Brothers? Anyway.
Which Franklin Brothers are you talking about? I knew the song so much. I didn't know which rendition it was.
It was the Franklin Brothers.
There you go.
Obviously
it
was
should
wrong.
Be. All right.
So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, and hopefully you get better answers on your financial questions than you do on your music-oriented questions. So anyway, 410-922-6680. We're going to Ryan and Arnold. Ryan, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. I got a quick question. So my sister-in-law and her kids live with me. She's on Social Security disability, and I was wondering, would I be able to claim her and her kids on my tax return?
As long as she doesn't have taxable income of more than $4,000, yes.
Okay.
And, there are lots of benefits to that, but you need to make sure that she doesn't have to file her own tax return. And normally it's the income level is $4,000 of taxable income. Social Security in and of itself would not be taxable. And so, yes, you would be able to take her as a dependent and her children as long as they're not over 18 and not in college, or I should say 19 and over and out of college, or not in college. But if they're out of college, you know, and so forth. So, you know, that's the general criteria. But the answer is, for the most part, the answer is yes. And there's lots of good reasons. And you would also be able to file head of household if you're not married. Are you married?
I am married.
Oh, so you get to file jointly, which is even better than head of household. But yes, you should be able to get all of them.
Oh, perfect. What are the benefits to doing that?
So the sister-in-law, you'll get an extra $4,000 exemption, and for each
would have been 2017 if you're doing that.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm talking in 17 right now. I was just thinking, how old are the children?
Very young, elementary school age.
Okay, so for the children, you get $4,000 each, and you also get a $1,000 tax credit for each of the children if you and your wife's total income is under about $110,000, let's call it. And you get phased out once you go over that and so forth. So there's lots of benefits to it. It'll help you tremendously. How much do you and your spouse make in general?
Taxable income, $56,000.
Wow, it'll be a big benefit. You probably won't pay a nickel in taxes if you bring them all onto your tax return. So it'd be very good for you. All right?
Okay. Awesome, thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. We're on an open show. We still have one caller online. I'm going to go to Mike in a second, but if you want to call in, there's plenty of opportunity, 410-922-6680, and direct the conversation. We've gone from ABLE accounts to taxes. We're going to HSAs in a second, and maybe you've got something you want to talk about. So we can go anywhere you want to, and this excites us, you know. This is good stuff.
More than music.
Ooh, I'm glad I didn't do that. Mike in Perry Hall, how can we help you?
My question is about HSAs. I'm currently enrolled in a high-deductible plan.
Yep.
And starting July 1st, I will be switching jobs, and I won't be in a high-deductible plan.
Starting July 1st, you said, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So I know I'm allowed a certain amount to contribute per year. Can I contribute all that before I switch jobs?
So are you single or married?
Married.
So you have a family plan?
Yes.
And are you and your wife over 55 or under 55?
Under.
Under 55. So the answer to the question is you would only be able to fund your high deductible plan for half of the year.
Okay.
And I got to ask you this question, too. Have you been on the high deductible plan for more than a year? In other words, you didn't just join that high deductible plan last year, did you?
No, I've been on it for like 4 years now.
Oh, okay, good. So you're only allowed to fund your high deductible plan for the 4 years that you have an HDHP plan, but once you don't have it, you cannot fund for the rest of the year for that.
And they do it, month by month.
And they do it for you. So you'll have it for 6 months, so you'll be able to do half of the $6,900 this year. Is that what it is for family?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll be able to do half of $6,900.
Except, do you live in the state of Maryland?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Yes, I do.
So the problem that Chris is addressing is these intelligent individuals that reside down in Annapolis have disqualified all of our HSAs, so I wouldn't be putting my money into that HSA until they fix it. So if you contribute to the plan now, you could be disqualified for that contribution because they passed a law last year that said male sterilization had to be covered by your medical and HSA plans, and they didn't realize that that would disqualify our plans in 2018 because federal law does not allow for male sterilization to be covered under that. So it's an issue that they're rapidly, hopefully,
well, listen up down there in Annapolis. Hopefully you are fixing this problem.
And if they are, once they do, you can contribute to the plan and have it fully tax deductible. But
unfortunately, a lot of payroll, HR,
everybody's confused.
people weren't even aware that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So you may not have heard anything about this.
It caught us all off guard at the beginning of the year when it went in, and somebody said, well, wait a minute, not a federal.
Right. Some people had alerted us in December.
Yeah, well,
this was
going to
be
then.
An issue.
Yeah,
right.
But it wasn't until then. So
sure.
They had passed the law back in July.
2016 it was passed.
Yeah, and
it didn't go into effect until 1-1.
1-1 until somebody really sat back and said, wait a minute, this is going to disqualify us. So, you know, Mike, I wished it was an easier answer for you. But I would still fund it 6 months' worth. But I would wait until you hear that they fix this before you. Or you're probably doing it out of your paycheck right now, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an issue. Well, let's put it this way. You know, the best bet is to just do it, and it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I should be good for 2017 for that, right?
Oh, you're definitely good for 2017.
Exactly.
It's 2018 that's going to be the issue. So, all right, man?
Thank you very much.
All right. So what he was talking about there is health savings accounts, HSA, and I just didn't want to make sure. I wanted to make sure an HDHP is all you need to qualify for a health savings account.
High deductible health plan.
High deductible health plan. There's no earnings rules. There's no. It's just, are you under 65 years of age and do you have a high deductible health plan? You're allowed then to have a health savings account. And we strongly, did you listen, hear me, strongly recommend anybody out there that has the ability to join an HDHP, high deductible health plan that qualifies you for a health savings account. It is a no-brainer. You should be doing it unless...
One of the great vehicles of our time.
There's only exception. There is one exception.
Right.
If you have a chronic illness that has lots and lots of medical expenses, and even under that scenario, you should analyze low deductible plan versus high deductible plan and see if it still comes out to your benefit. And a lot of times it does. But that's the only time that it's not a no-brainer. It does take some analysis.
And you
to
can't
do
it if you're on Medicare.
And you can't, well, that's why I said up to 65 years of age, you can't do it once you're on Medicare. But it is an incredible benefit. And this is not F, like in Frank SA, this is HSA, health savings account.
But if you're working still and your health plan is covering you, you're not on Medicare.
And they have an FSA, it's still,
you
I would
still
do it
do
if
it,
I have to. But
you could still do it post 65.
Yeah, that's true. That's possible, but you still have to make sure you don't sign up for Medicare Part A, which could be automatic.
Right.
Anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, where we don't have anybody on the line, so we have about 3 or 4 minutes of commercials here before you to call in if you want to be in the second part of our show. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in on this open show tonight, but right now I have to go to traffic. Take it away. Pink Floyd. I gotta be close this time, though.
Yeah.
Hey.
Shocking Blue. I'm your
Shocking
Venus.
Shocking Blue. That's what my next guess was gonna be. I'm on Bill in Westminster.
We were in middle school at the time, though.
Bill in Westminster, how can we help you?
Yeah, I'm here. I just have a question about Social Security.
Go ahead, buddy.
I retired at the age of 62 early. I know it's a mistake. But I went back to work after about 6 months and been working for 7 years since then. Am I stuck at the original retirement rate, or do they recalculate that?
How old are you right now?
69.
70.
70.
Oh, you're 70. No, they when you started at 62 with a discount, you stayed with that discount. Now, what they did do, did they penalize you? Did you stop collecting anywhere along the way?
No, my chances were they had the rule where you could pay it back in a year, but I fell short of that. They passed the new rule where you could pay it back.
So you never paid it back, and you continued to collect, but they penalized you along the way, right?
Yes, for filing early, yes.
Yeah, but then when you turned 66, you should have gotten a bump in your thing because all the penalty basically went back to your full retirement age, and you should have gotten a bump up at that time, did you?
No, I did not.
You should have, because the penalty is not a penalty that just takes it away forever. And you know, but the penalty is that says, we're not going to give this to you now because you're making over this, but we'll give it to you back when you turn 66. You should have.
No, I never got an increase, so should I go to them and
I would go to them.
And you never stop. So you never stop receiving. You started collecting at 62, and you've been collecting ever since.
Correct.
Okay.
And you earned more than $15,000 all those years, and they took $1 for every $2 extra away from you.
Correct.
Well, anything they took away should have been recalculated for you at full retirement age. So I would go back to and then talk to them about that and see why they didn't, and or if they did and you just didn't realize it. All right?
All right. Thank you very much for the information. I love your guys' show.
Hey, great. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Mark in Ellicott City, HSAs, how can we help you?
Yes, I came in at the tail end of that, and you it was HD...
HSA,
and
HDHP, health high deductible health plan.
Yes, and you said that was there an income that would disqualify you?
No, that's what we were pointing out, that the only requirement to have a HSA, health savings account, is to have a HDHP, high deductible health plan. And if you have one that is qualified for an HSA, that's all that requires. You could be Bill Gates or Drew Tignanelli. You could have no earned income or you have lots of earned income. It doesn't matter as long as you have an HDHP.
Okay, so you just Google that. It'll walk you through where to go.
Now, are you working, Mark?
Yeah, I'm self-employed.
You're self-employed. And do you have employees?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to make sure that you have offer at least one high-deductible health plan, and you want to tell your medical insurance agent that I want an HDHP qualified health savings account for my company, and if my employees want to choose that, they can. You do offer medical insurance to your employees, don't you?
They have their own.
Well, if they have their own, you could still get your own and still take it off. What kind of entity are you, a sole proprietor, an LLC, or an S-Corp?
S-Corp.
S-Corp. So you can take it. You know, you can get a high-deductible health plan for yourself and your family, and that's what you ought to have, period, unless you're somebody in your family has chronic illnesses that you know you're going to be spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or more dollars a year. And then only then should you do an analysis to see if it's the best plan for you. All right?
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, buddy. You know, and we do that analysis for our business owner clients all the time. So if you want to look at that, Mark, you come talk to us. We'll look and figure it out for you. Kenny in Connecticut. That sort of rhymes, didn't it?
Yeah.
Kenny in Connecticut. Anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, what's up, Kenny?
Quick question. I'm a disabled vet. Currently,
okay.
I am getting 70% disability from the VA.
I'm assuming you were in either Iraq or Afghanistan then.
I was in Desert Storm.
Desert Storm, okay.
Okay, so I'm 56 years old right now.
Okay.
And I was in two helicopter crashes.
Wasn't enough for you, eh?
Nah, unfortunately.
all right, go ahead.
I made bad choices in my youth, and that was one of them. So, the bottom line is, I'm going to be getting, the VA wants me to go out on 100%, and they want me to go out as unemployable.
Okay.
Okay, somebody told me that when you go out on unemployable, that Social Security disability matches the VA award. So that would be $3,000 from the VA and $3,000 from Social Security.
Well, what they're saying is correct. So in other words, is VA disability says that you're disabled with them 100%. Social Security would have a hard time saying you're not disabled for Social Security purposes. And I'm assuming you have a Social Security account, right?
That's correct.
So whatever your Social Security disability available is, The minute VA says you're 100% disabled, Social Security cannot challenge you that you are not also. And therefore, whatever your Social Security disability is, that's what you'll get. And it can be up to about $2,800.
Okay, because from what I was told, and this is coming from the VA counselors, and you know how the VA is.
Yeah.
So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Some of them are extremely good, so I...
Oh,
you know.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the VA in Boston actually offers bariatric surgery.
Okay, yeah, right.
But a lot of places don't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay, but the bottom line is the VA, the terminology the VA uses, you have 100%, then you have 100% unemployable.
Yeah,
now,
I hear you.
Unemployable, that part... Because at 100%, I could continue to work. But the 100% unemployable is the key word, supposedly, according to the VA. But they said that the Social Security matches the VA award.
Right. I don't believe that. I'm not sure. And the best place to answer.
Right. The VA award would be $3,000.
Right, and I think what you're going to find with Social Security is whatever your disability account is with them, they're going to give it to you without any fight or battle. But I don't know of them just matching what the VA does. But the best place to ask is to go to the Social Security office and apply for your Social Security disability and see what they say. And tell you the truth, if they do say that, you know, call me back. I'd love to know that information because that's not something I'm familiar with.
Okay, another thing. I have let's just say at $2,800, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Let's just say I maxed out on the Social Security side.
Okay.
I have a minor daughter who is 13.
She'd get it also.
The same amount?
No, she won't get the same amount, but she'll get a child. She'll get a portion of the family portion, and there's a maximum family portion. That can actually go up to as high as $4,400. For that. So every minor daughter, every minor child you have will get a benefit. You'll get a benefit. And you can get up to like $4,400. But I'm not sure what she will get. I think it's like $1,000, $1,100, something like that.
What about my wife?
I don't think your wife gets a benefit. I'm almost positive she does not get a benefit unless you unfortunately were to pass away. Then she could get a benefit at age 60 or benefit for minor children.
That would be the third helicopter crash, not the, you know.
Look, okay. Buddy, I don't, you know, I agree with you. You felt like you made bad choices, but I'm greatly appreciative for your service to our country.
I just, you know, to be honest with you, I wish we could have taken care of it then.
Yeah, I understand. That's what the problem with the military is, politicians.
Yeah, absolutely. That way, you know, it's like I tell these young kids now, if I would have done my job better, you wouldn't be there.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. That's one thing I like about Trump. He says, you know, go ahead, Mattis, you take care of this. Let me know when it's over.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Kenny, take care. All right, we got to take a pause. We'll be right back. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Be right back. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. This is for business owners and presidents of companies listening today. If you have a 401k in your company, then let me warn you that lawyers are hunting for you with good reason. 401k plans with less than 1,000 employees have been built around revenue sharing, or in my words, commissions. The Department of Labor has opened a door for lawyers to sue you on behalf of employees unhappy with excessive fees in the plan. They are correct, but the funny thing is the business owner has normally the majority of the money in the plan. You need a great plan for you and your employees, for everyone's retirement is dependent on it. We do a 401k review of your plan to help determine how to develop the best possible commission-free plan and keep the plan current. Call 410-823-SAVE, that's 410-823-SAVE, to schedule your 401k review. Everyone's retirement is dependent on it, so call 410-823-SAVE.
There you go, Drew.
There you go.
To you. Maybe that's the Franklin Brothers.
Yeah, really. What's that band called that did this?
The Steve Miller Band.
There you go. See, I knew that.
Yeah.
I tested you on that one, Chris.
There you go.
And you passed. Mark in Pasadena, how can we help you on HSAs?
No, Drew. It was Pink Floyd.
That was my guess, but I wanted to make sure if Chris understood who it was. But go ahead.
Love your show. Listen to it often, but it's par for the course. I'm working at my desk. I walk away from my desk, and I come back to catch the tail end of a conversation that hit me right in my wheelhouse. I am Medicare. I'm over 65, but I have an HSA. My wife is younger.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Are you still contributing to an HSA,
yes,
or do you have an HSA? Do you just have money in an HSA? Okay, but you're not allowed to contribute anymore if you're the one with the Medicare.
Well, that's why I was.
Are you with a company?
My wheelhouse. Okay, so I've been. My wife is younger. She's 50s.
Okay.
And I have a late life surprise. I have a teenage son. So the HSA was for what it's supposed to be for, which is if you get hit by a bus and you got a $10,000 deductible, it takes care of the $10K.
Okay.
So, educate me.
So, are you with a company?
I own a company.
You own the company, okay. But when you turn 65, you still have your own medical insurance, right, for your company and yourself and your family, right?
I have long term with John Hancock. I have some of those kinds of things, but Medicare kicks in, so you know.
No. Insurance. Let me. Who's your medical insurance company? Who's your medical insurance company?
John Hancock.
John Hancock as your Medicare supplemental.
Yes.
So and then you have a separate policy for your wife and son, and that's the one that's a high deductible health plan.
Yes.
Okay, so you're...
Well, that got started before I turned 65.
But
whose medical
insurance policy is it under? Who has the high deductible health plan? Is it your wife work for your company? Does your son work for your company?
It's a bit of a partner. I own the company, but yes, my wife and I work together.
So your wife has the medical insurance policy for just her and her son, and your son, but she's the one with the policy, so she's able to do it because she's not Medicare.
Okay, therein lies the rub. It was started with me, and I'm the only one to contribute. So it's just simply a monthly...
Well, you got a problem. What I'd suggest you do is come into my office and do a financial physical, and we figure out how to straighten this thing out, because that's a problem, and it's not an easy problem.
She and he are both listed as beneficiaries.
No, that doesn't count. It's got to be whose plan it is. You can't continue to put into your plan. You've got to have a plan for your wife, and she can contribute to it. You're not to be contributing to that anymore.
Okay. Well, that's okay, and that's why.
When did you go? When did you
call in? Because that's like, whoa! I didn't know that. I don't recall getting any.
Just don't use your last name, also, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Just don't use your last name, also, Mark.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, this can be fixed. When did you turn 65?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Well,
oh,
yeah.
Well, that's okay. We'll figure it out. So the concept is we want to make sure that high deductible health plan is with your wife, and we want to make sure you no longer contribute to that anymore. And any money you put in for 18 already, get it out of there. And
for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons, you know. And maybe we even get 17. You have the right to get 17 out of there before April 15th of this year, and then redeposit it in for your wife. A new account that she sets up.
Up to what limit?
And I would strongly you consider doing this, talking to your agent, whoever your medical insurance is through, whoever set this up with you, getting your money out for 17 and anything you might have put in for 18, get it out. Get account set up for your wife in her name and let her put that in, and then 2016 we'll worry about later.
Sure, fair enough. Well, this was set up years ago, and it's one of those things you just get an automatic monthly deduction.
I understand. Look, the tax laws are too ridiculously complicated, and there are too many people out there that aren't paying attention to their client situations to make sure they don't make these kind of mistakes. And it's unfortunate, but it is the way it is. I got to run, but if you want to call us, we'll help you work it out, buddy.
Right,
all right,
thanks,
take care. I'm going to go to Steve in New Windsor. How can we help you, Steve?
Yes, sir. I had a question about early retirement. I just recently turned 59. I'm considering retiring at 59 and a half, but I don't really understand the Social Security implications. Can I defer my Social Security payments?
Sure, you don't have to take
part-time.
You don't have to take Social Security until you want to, right? You have the right to take Social Security at 62, anytime between 62 and 70. Your full retirement age is 66 and 6 months.
Six months, right.
But if you wait until 70, you'll get the maximum amount of Social Security, and you can take it any time. As long as you have money to live on between 60 and 69, 70, you should wait until you're 70 normally.
I know, but my wife and I are in a good situation. We own our homes. We own our vehicles. We have only living bills to worry about, and taxes, of course.
Right.
But I wanted to, I'm in a union, so I want to, it's a very physical kind of labor that I do.
Sure.
And this year I've really felt my age in trying to keep up with a 35 and 45 year old.
Hey, look, the union, when you're part of a union, normally you can retire at age 60 with enough benefits that'll, easily allow you to continue your lifestyle. So, you got to do an analysis. You got to have a retirement analysis run to say how much money do you need and where are you going to get it from and how are you going to make it all work and so forth. And, I mean, this is pretty straightforward stuff. And that's what you need to be doing, but, you probably would be able to do this if you were working for a union for as long as you say you are.
Time for one other quick little question.
Yeah, real quick.
I have a life insurance policy, and I wanted to apply for another one, but one of the questions on the questionnaire is this supplemental to another, but it's a different beneficiary. So do I have to disclose that I have another life insurance policy to the new life insurance company?
So I guess I'm not catching what you're saying. You have a life insurance policy and you're doing a new one?
A new one for a different beneficiary, another right. family member.
Why are you doing that?
Well, it's because it's tax-free when they inherit.
Yeah. But
otherwise, I could leave them some money, but they're going to pay, estate.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And the insurance agent is probably taking you on this, in my opinion. You probably are the last person on earth that should be buying a life insurance policy. Best thing you could do is put money into a Roth IRA to allow them to get that in the future.
Okay. Well, thanks, Drew. I really appreciate it.
All right. You take
Always
care.
Always love your show.
All right, buddy. I don't know what he's doing buying life insurance.
Yeah, if you're going to pass money along, unless he's, incredibly wealthy.
Incredibly wealthy.
How incredible?
And like $25 million, maybe.
Exactly right. He's not
going to
pay any kind of taxes.
Yeah.
Not to his lineal heirs.
Dorothy, if you hold on until after the show, I'm going to answer your question. But right now, we got to wrap up, Chris. We're over. The show flew by tonight because there were so many callers.
Yeah, great calls.
And this is John Denver. No, James Taylor. James Taylor.
Jimmy T.
I got to go. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.